This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The good news is that today is the last day of Ramadan. Inshallah ta'ala, Al-Eid will be on Saturday bi-idhnillah. But now I came so I can explain to you what has happened during the last few days. And of course, you all are aware of the global sighting of the moon in Saudi Arabia, in Kuwait, in the Emirates, and in many of these countries. All of them are going to be doing Eid today. So the question, of course, is why aren't we doing Eid today as well? Concerning this matter, and I hope I can explain it in a way where you can understand. First and foremost, Al-Eid and Ramadan must be established by the sighting of the moon. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the authentic hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas and other companions, that he said, "Sumu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yatihi fa in ghumma alaykum fa akmilu al-iddah." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Fast upon sighting the moon and break your fast upon sighting the moon. And if there is clouds or there is darkness between you and the moon, obstruction, you couldn't see the moon, then just complete the count." Meaning, if we were still in Sha'ban, waiting for Ramadan, do 30 days of Sha'ban, then start Ramadan. And if we were in Ramadan, in the last day of it, and we couldn't see the moon, then we complete Ramadan 30 days. And even to the point where ulama rahimahumullah would say, if there was an obstruction between us and the moon, there were thick clouds, and someone went in a helicopter and took off all the way until he reached on top of the clouds and saw it, we're not interested in his sighting. Because what would we do with the rest of the hadith that says, if there is clouds between you and the moon? What's the point of that hadith? The practical implementation of that hadith would suggest that we don't need any technology and we don't need any helicopter to go on top of the clouds to narrate to us a sighting. So the idea from the hadith we clearly get that we don't fast and we don't break our fast except by the sighting of the moon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He says, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Whoever witnesses the month, when you see the moon with your eye. Tamam. So we've established that the sighting is the prophetic practice and the sunnah. Of course, there came afterwards some scholars that mentioned calculation, and that calculation is a method of establishing Ramadan and Al-Eid. However, with what I believe and what I've been taught, is that calculation is a rejected method, because after the Ijma', if Al-Ulama agreed unanimously, meaning all of them agreed to something, then anything that comes after that, that contradicts what they agreed, is rejected. It is not accepted. So as a result, calculation method is not accepted. Now when we look into the sighting, we zoom into the sighting, this valid opinion of sighting, we happen to find three opinions within sighting. Now we said sighting is a valid opinion, this is the only opinion. But within sighting the moon, there are three opinions. And all of them have dalil and all of them have proof, and I'm not going to share everything with you because it's going to take a long time, but I'll give you what you understand. The first opinion is that every country should sight the moon, and that one country has nothing to do with the country next to it. So New Zealand will have its own sighting and they should not be concerned with the sighting of Australia. Australia has its own sighting and they should not be concerned with the sighting of Indonesia, and so on. That's one valid opinion, and that's known as a ru'ya al-mahalliya, which they call local moon sighting. That's one. Valid, perfectly valid. Aslan, in the time of the Sahaba, that's what was going on. Local, because there was no communication. They didn't have telephones, satellites, internet, WhatsApp, they couldn't send any message. So the Muslims that lived in Iraq and the Muslims that lived in Al-Madinah, those who lived in Yemen, those who lived in Mecca, how are they going to inform each other that they saw the moon? So everyone had his own sighting. Those in Iraq would fast separate to those who were in Syria, and those in Mecca. And then later on, when the Muslims would gather and meet each other at Al-Hajj, they'll discuss this matter. When did you have Al-Eid? We had it this day because we sighted it on that day and so on. So that is a first valid opinion within the sighting, a local sighting. Number two, there's something known as a ru'ya al-mahalliya, or ru'ya al-iqlimiya, you can say. And that is regional sighting. What does regional sighting mean? Regional sighting means you look at the countries that share some of the night with you. So for us in Australia, our regional section and our regional area is us and the countries on top of us, like Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, and so on. These are countries that share time with us, share the night with us. That's known as al-ru'ya al-iqlimiya, regional sighting. And that has its proofs. And there's another opinion, and that is known as al-ru'ya al-alamiya, global sighting. Meaning anyone who sights the moon, I do not care where he is, I take that sighting and bismillah, I start Ramadan or I start Al-Eid. That's also a valid opinion. Beautiful. Three valid opinions. What do we do now? I tell you, look, the problem that we face here in Australia is only us. Every other country is all right. Because, for example, in America, in Canada, in the furthest parts of Africa, the sun and the moon would have moved already. Saudi Arabia and the Arabs would have already announced by the time it gets to America and Canada and all these Muslims in the minority countries, it would be an easier situation for them. But we're the very beginning. This is why the difference and a lot of clashes happen, because we're the very beginning. So when it comes to these three opinions, and if you ask me, what do I like from the three opinions? I will not hesitate to tell you I like global moon sighting. This is what I like. This is what I prefer. This is what I've studied, what I've learned, and what I'm comfortable with. Me. This is me. I'm not talking about anyone else. Global moon sighting for me. Like, so what happened now that we have confirmed the global sighting, and I'm telling you that I will do Eid on Saturday? So that seems like a huge contradiction. Let me explain to you. Since you and I have established that these are three valid opinions, now is the time where we exercise wisdom with knowledge. I don't want knowledge now. Me, I'm going to exercise wisdom with knowledge. I'll tell you exactly how this is happening. The Mashayikh here, and about 32 organizations plus, in the last 3-4 days, they came together to agree to one of the three valid opinions. They rejected calculation. They said, all of us are on the same page. We want to sight. But then we also have to agree on what type of sighting do we want. Are we going to go local, regional? Regional includes local. Or global? 32 organizations plus agreed to local, regional. This is what they agreed to. Not because they don't believe in global. I tell you why they accepted and they all agreed to regional and local. They agreed to regional because it's easier to announce to the people. What do I mean by this? Wait with me and I'll explain. By 10 o'clock, Indonesia, Singapore and Malaysia would have announced whether it's Eid or not. 10 o'clock is a good time to keep families awake and to tell them wait. And I tell you, Allah, the people are waiting. Allahu Akbar. It's the people that are not patient. People don't help their organizations. People are, what's happening? Hurry up. So regional works best for everyone. Keeping the people awake to 10 o'clock, that's not too late. We can keep them awake until then. The organizations that need to prepare for Al-Eid, spread the mats, get the microphones and the speakers and so on, get them ready, that takes some time. So 10 o'clock is good. So the Mashayikh didn't only use knowledge, but they also used wisdom and mercy upon the people. What is easier for people? the easier for people is regional, local sighting. What is the problem if we all agreed with global? Because that's also discussed. How come 32 mashayikh and organizations didn't say let's go global? Look at the problem with global. For us here in Australia, it's not practical. I tell you why. If we went global, then that means potentially you'll have to wait until Fajr. Because if it's not sighted in the countries next to Indonesia and Singapore, wait. Okay, so now we've reached Qatar. Qatar didn't report anything. Now I'm giving you an example of how global would work. It reaches Saudi, it's 2 o'clock here, and there's no sighting. It reaches Egypt and there's no sighting. It's almost Fajr here. Okay, now it's Fajr. What do we do? Wallah, we're going to pray Fajr, we're just going to wait. Because you're global still, you need to wait. Okay, now the moon has reached Mauritania. It's probably 8 o'clock in the morning here. Wait, maybe, because if there's a confirmation, then as a global, you have to break your fast. You got to go do Al-Eid. Like now you still got, maybe it's not sighted anyway. Maybe the first reported sighting is in America and in Canada. Yalla, you're a global follower, then break your fast. How are we going to pray Eid? Wait, it's going to be 10 o'clock by then. How are you going to announce to people? How's the announcement going to go down? How is the park going to get prepared? How's it? Chaos. It's literally not practical for us here in Australia to follow the global opinion. Even though I told you, this is what I prefer. Now let me explain to you. This is my opinion, global. How come today, in front of you, I'm telling you, I switch from global to regional, local? Let me explain to you. And how is this even possible? Is there a record in the Sunnah that explains this? Yes, of course there is. I'll give you the incident of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and Uthman radiallahu anhu. This is an authentic reporting, an authentic narration, and Imam Abu Dawood mentions it in his Sunan Hadith. He says, listen carefully. Uthman radiallahu anhu, a companion, he was on the opinion that the Hujjaj that reach Mina are supposed to pray al-Dhuhr, wal-Asr, wal-Isha 4 rak'at. That's whose opinion? Uthman radiallahu anhu. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was on the opinion that al-Dhuhr, wal-Asr, wal-Isha in Mina is supposed to be prayed 2 rak'at. There's a big difference here. Sahaba, one is saying 4, one is saying 2. Uthman radiallahu anhu is proving the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did this 4 rak'at. Well, there is proof for Ibn Mas'ud. Anyway, Ibn Mas'ud approached Uthman and he condemned and criticized his action. Then later on, al-Sahaba witnessed Ibn Mas'ud praying behind Uthman 4 rak'at. So they came to Ibn Mas'ud and they said to him, how is this possible? You criticized him for what he is upon of 4 rak'at, and we see you, the one who believes in 2 rak'at in Mina, prayed behind him 4 rak'at. What did he say? He said, Al-khilafu shar, la uhibbu al-khilaf. He said, disunity is evil and I do not like disunity. What happened here and what do we learn? What we learn is something incredible. That it is okay and it's fine to go from one valid opinion, to another valid opinion for the sake of unity. As long as the opinion is valid. So what Ibn Mas'ud did here, he exercised knowledge and wisdom. He went from believing that it's 2, and he still believes it's 2. But he prayed behind Uthman, Amir al-Mu'mineen at the time. He prayed behind him 4, so that he can avoid disunity. Otherwise, it was very easy for Ibn Mas'ud to go out to another tent and establish a salat 2 rak'at, and well, we've got the first division at that time. But he didn't do this. So for me, when I looked at 32 organizations that met in the last couple of days, and all of them agreed to regional, local, I did exactly what Ibn Mas'ud did. And I said, okay, I believe in global. That's a valid opinion. MashaAllah, this organization has grown in numbers and they have come to an agreement for regional, local. Therefore, for the sake of uniting upon something that is valid and true, I will move from one opinion to another. Very simple. This is what I did. And this is what we want to explain to our brothers and sisters in Islam. That's the idea. And you need to be aware that difference of opinion in Islam and in fiqh matters does exist. And it'll exist. Yani, you know the incident of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the companions were in Al-Madinah. Right, the companions were in Al-Madinah. And he says to the companions, yalla, head towards Bani Qurayza. Bani Qurayza is what? It's a Jewish tribe that is a walking distance away from Al-Madinah. So he says to the companions a clear instruction. He says to them, لا يصلينا أحدكم العصر إلا في بني قريظة. There's a group of companions. He said to them, do not pray Asr until you reach the town of Bani Qurayza. So you know what happened? As they went, all of a sudden halfway, half the companions realized that we're not going to make it to Bani Qurayza by the time Maghrib is still within its time. Maghrib, Al-Asr is going to finish. It's going to be out of its time. So we need to pray right now, right here. And what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam meant was rush. Hurry up, quickly get there. So they prayed Al-Asr there. The other half of the companions said, no, that's wrong. What the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam meant was literally do not pray until you reach Bani Qurayza, even if Salat al-Asr was to end and Maghrib Adhan was to be called. Okay, is that a big difference of opinion? Huge! Eventually, alhamdulillah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is still there to assess the situation and tell us what's happening. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached the companions. And obviously they are all eager to ask him who's right, who's wrong. For they came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened. Half of us understood from your words that you meant rush. And the other half understood literally you said, don't pray until you get to Bani Qurayza. What happened? You know what he said? What did he say? And before you tell me what he said, I want to ask you a question. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he said what he said, did he mean two things or one thing? Obviously he meant one thing. He can't mean two things. He meant one thing. So when they asked him, he said to them, both of you are correct. Both of you are correct. But the most interesting thing for me is that he didn't even say, both of you are correct, but those that prayed on the road, that's what I meant. And I didn't mean what you did and got there literally, you know, and yalla, no worries, you're good, but don't do that again. He didn't even say that. He did not even clarify what he had and what he meant by what he said. Can you imagine this? And ulama understood from this, and this is the first hadith in the sunnah that indicates that there is going to be room for difference of opinion among al-ummah. So allow your chest and your heart to open up for it. And the more knowledge, the more wisdom you have, the more you'll relax and understand that these are valid matters. But especially when it comes to al-Eid, Ramadan, one of the purposes of Eid and Ramadan and Hajj is to unite Muslims. That's what one of its purposes. This is why for me, I went from one valid to another valid opinion so that we can preserve this type of unity among us. That's all that happened, right? And I tell you something as well in addition to this. Allah, when Eid al-Adha will come, Eid al-Adha will come, you might find that the same organizations will release, I don't know, but this is what I assume, so that you don't get shocked later on. I'd assume that they are going to release the statement based on global moon sighting. Why do I say that? Because global moon sighting for Eid al-Adha is practical. It's practical. Why? Because Eid al-Adha is on what day of Dhul-Hijjah? On what day? On the 10th. And so the moon has to be witnessed when? On the first. So we have plenty of time to inform people that the Eid is on this day. So we'll follow the Saudi sighting, no problems. We'll have enough time to inform the people this is going to be your day of Arafah faster and this is going to be the day of Hajj. This is now unity because we're doing Arafah on the same day people are standing on the mountain. We're doing Eid al-Adha on the same day that the entire Ummah is doing. Beautiful, there's enough time. But this one here, Eid al-Fitr, there's not enough time. You're literally speaking hours and then you got the Eid. So the most practical approach for Muslims here is regional, local. Wallahu alam. Anyone has a question? Someone didn't understand anything? والله إزروكلي عزام أهم شيء أنت فهمت؟ طيب الحمد لله.
Tfadl. What about if people that wanted to break their fast and then tomorrow make Eid with the people?
يعني the one who wants to break his fast today, on what basis?
He was on global news.
He's on global. See, that's up to you. And I am telling you my perspective. And I'm trying to preach a unified approach. That's what I'm trying to do. My responsibility, if I see a majority upon truth, then I'd like to call people to that and preach to that. Wallahi, and I tell you, if the majority were upon falsehood, I'll tell you do what is right, even if you're by yourself. But since a majority of our people have united upon a true, good, valid opinion, khalas, let's just follow that. You understand where I'm coming from? Now, this is the idea. Tadda.
Why is Turkey and other groups within Sydney using calculation, and what reasons do they give to try to give us some validation?
Jayyid, Allah yajzik al-khair. Wallahi, ya akhi, the topic of calculation is a long topic. And please excuse me, I will not be able to explain it because of its depth and its complication. And even those who approved it of the recent ulama, Zarqaw, Ahmed Sharkin and so on, they put a lot of conditions for it. They put a lot of conditions. And even within calculation, you'll find that there is two different opinions within calculation. Some, it's just by this, if the moon is born, khalas, that's it. Others, not, it needs to be born and there needs to be a considerate amount of time to decide it. And yeah, it is a complication over complication. Therefore, I give you yani, nice and easy for me, for what I studied and what I learned and what I'll face Allah Azza wa Jal with on the Day of Judgment, is that this is not a valid opinion with me and what I learned. طيب. Others that could justify their position and stand, that's up to them. Everyone will be questioned before Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment with what he did of his opinions. Now, Allahu A'lam. Tafadhal.
Most parents breaking their fast today.
This is a very valid question. This is like addressing an elephant in the room. You have the parents, the older generation, that usually follow the LMA, the Kemba, and so they're doing Al-Eid today, so they're going to follow Al-Eid. And the younger generation, the brothers and the sisters that yani, studied elsewhere and attended the masajid elsewhere, that are on the opinion of regional, local siding, there's going to be an obvious clash within the family. What we're going to say is this, and I spoke to my sheikh a few hours ago, Sheikh Al-Allama, Alim. This is a scholar from Lebanon, Sheikh Talal Mallat Abu Umar. May Allah Azza wa Jal preserve him and protect him. Yani, and I've been a student of his from when I was 18 years old. And until this day, I seek knowledge and I learn from him and I ask him about critical matters like this. So that's coming straight from him. I asked him about this matter. And he said to me, so long as your majority that you take knowledge from have agreed to regional, local, then this is what we're going to do. If there are youth, young boys and girls that follow this opinion and their parents or members of their family are going to do Friday based on the LMA, whatever their yani method of announcing is, then first and foremost, you want to see if you continue upon regional local and they do Friday, is it going to cause tension? We have two possibilities. Either they're going to say, my son, do what you like, wallahi barak fik, walhamdulillah, if that's the case, then do regional local and they'll do their own global. But if it's going to cause a tension and a friction, la, to unite the family is much more important. As a result, what we'll say to this person is, for you, brother, follow and do Eid with your parents. And that is on a Friday. So attend Salat al-Eid, wa attend Khutbat al-Eid, or break your fast, or celebrate the day with them as though this is your day of Eid. Then the Sheikh said to me, afterwards, fast a day in case. This is what? This is on the basis if the moon was sighted globally. Fast a day in case, because your opinion that you adopted with your mashaykh and organizations was local, regional. And he even said to me, even if the moon was not sighted, because LMA was doing Friday, whether it was cited or not, they were going to do Friday. Even in that case, he would say, break your fast with your family, do Eid with them, and then make up a day after Ramadan, compensating for that day. وَفَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَطَعْتُمْ Fear Allah Azza wa Jal as best as you can. Now.
Yeah, about the calculation and what we have for the last few years, they announced like 1 week before Ramadan starts, or 10 days before Ramadan starts, the same thing with the Eid. So is it considered as calculation? Or
of course. Anyone that announces before the time of sighting is calculation. Because the only proper announcement should be at the time of sighting. And the valid time of sighting is last night, not 2 nights ago.
But they put explanation when moon will be sighting, for how many...
We are allowed to use these kind of information and this kind of facts and information to aid us for the sighting. And you can use telescope, astronomical calculation, you can use all this as an aid to see it, but not use it and disregard the sighting. No, this is not allowed. Now, alhamdulillah.
What about Laylat al-Qadr in this case?
Laylat al-Qadr, ya akhi, 10 nights. 10 nights. There's no problem in Laylat al-Qadr because the count of Laylat al-Qadr begins from the start of Ramadan. And when we reach the 21st and the 23rd and so on, and the last 10 nights, by the opinion that you followed in this country, which is either they agreed to global or regional local, that will be your Laylat al-Qadr. That will be your Laylat al-Qadr based on that count, based on the valid opinion that was exercised from the beginning of the month.
So no issue. Why it has two or three nights of
Qadr? Huwa, this is why we always say, even the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do i'tikaf the entire last 10. He wouldn't pick and choose the even and the odd. Sunnah the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to remain awake the whole night for the last 10. All of them, right? So the one who does that, alhamdulillah, he will catch Laylatul Qadr definitely. Now, and the one who wants to do even and odd, it's up to him. He's risking himself anyway. Now,
Shaykh. You told
that
Ramadan start and Eid al-Fitr, we can use regional or
local or global.
But why you said again that we can follow the Eid al-Hajj as far as global? That
looks
like confusion.
No, not confusion. I said, and I repeat again, this is a valid opinion. This is a valid opinion. For now, for Eid al-Fitr, what's more convenient for the people and for the announcement is global, is local, regional. What is more convenient and what is easier is that we do global for Eid al-Adha. But if these 32 organizations do come to an agreement that Eid al-Adha will be local, regional, then I suggest that you follow this. Because this is a majority. And I'm just thinking ahead in terms of, if that does come out, I want to explain it in advance so that you can understand. But Allahu A'lam, I do not know what they've agreed to when it comes to Eid al-Adha. Now.
Chef, every group that makes an announcement says that they're the majority.
And they said they're counting all them. Jayid, that's a very good question. How?
Sorry, is it a majority of people or a majority of mashayikh?
No, excellent. This has always been a confusing matter. How do we calculate the majority? Because who's done the survey to say that this is the number of Muslims, this is the number of centers, this is the number of mashayikh? And then, wallah, we surveyed and we got 70% here, 30%. No one's done that. So for me, it's my mashayikh and who I learn from and who I take and who I'm comfortable with when it comes to knowledge. For me, I can see a majority within that. So these 32 organizations, bi-ithnillah, these are organizations that we know, we respect them for the knowledge they have, for the aqeedah that they teach, and they're the ones that united with each other, and this is what I will take from, right? Now, this could be a different matter for someone else. But for me, this is how I answer my question, right? So this is my majority, right? According to al-aqeedah that we share and the belief that we share about Allah Azza wa Jal, His names, His attributes, and so on. No, Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ If you got no clue what's going on, then the wajib upon you is to ask people of knowledge. And then there's no sin and no harm upon you when the people of knowledge that you trust direct you to a certain matter. Follow and there's nothing upon you. And you're supposed to, it's upon you to choose who you trust. Yani, I'll tell you an example today. If yani, I got sick and I wanted to go to the dentist. I'm going to give you a simple example. I want to go to the dentist. I need to remove a tooth or whatever it is. Me, what, I just go and head out any road, any dentist I walk in? I'll do my research, call up someone, sure, who's the best dentist in the area, search, reviews on Google, who's got the 5-star, khala, do my research, and I found he's the best of the best. Then I went to him. And this is in your worldly matters you're doing this. How then in your religious matters? Should be doing the same thing. Santa andak mashayikh. See, who's the one who you rate the 5-star? Who's the one who you trust his knowledge? Who's the one who the people have accepted and the people have praised for his knowledge? Khalas, you're comfortable? Most definitely you have some sort of comfort within your heart that I'm going to ask him about this specific matter. You might love more than one, but for this person here, there's a different connection. And there's a trust that is not with others. Perhaps because you've spent more time, or you understand where this person came from, how he studied, where he sought his knowledge, who is Mashayikh, you connect with him. Ya akhi, I got no clue in this matter. Allah said to me, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. I don't know. I'm coming to a person who I believe is a person of knowledge. I'm asking him. He gave me an answer. I followed. As simple as that. Wallahu a'lam. No.
I'm asking for this year specifically. I don't know if this applies generally, but if you started on global or regional or vice versa, can you end on the other opinion?
You can end on the other opinion if it comes out to 29-30 days. And if it came out, for example, 28 days, let's say someone started global, or even you are overseas and you started with them overseas and then you came here and all of a sudden you find that your days were 28 days. They got to be at least 29-30 days. So in that case, you will see if the majority of your people are doing Eid on a valid opinion, do Eid with them. And then that 29th day, do it after. Very simple. Khalas, now you would have continued and completed 29 days. Now, you need to understand that the highest and the greatest purpose of Eid is the actual unity. Not only unity in time, but also unity in place. And this is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would encourage the woman, the young, the virgin, the menstruating woman, the boys, the kids, everyone come out. Everyone come out. Al-unity is the biggest purpose of Al-Eid, Wal-Adha, Wal-Hajj. They are symbols, they show us our unity. And if we can unite upon a valid opinion, we're going to run to that straight away. And this is why I don't hesitate to say to you, I prefer global. But for this, I'm going to definitely follow this with no hesitation, because it's going to achieve the purpose of an Eid, right? And no problems. Drop the opinion you hold onto for the sake of valid unity, no problems. Now, Allahu A'lam.
Why accept calculation in the time of writing, not accept calculation in the wrong
time? Oh, anta Allah, you're asking a big question. Allah barik fik, yuzik al khair. A'adhirni kaman, I cannot answer it because it's going to take a longer discussion. And I don't want to give a 5-10 minute answer. لأن it will do injustice to the topic and a lot of you will walk out confused. فالله يبارك فيك ويجزيك الخير. Maybe we'll leave that for another time. والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.